All right, you guys did an awesome job. We love it. Praise the Lord. God bless you guys. Did you have fun doing it? And if you haven't seen, if you weren't here this morning for the breakfast, their artwork is displayed in the back. So you guys can go to Kingdom Land now. You're dismissed to go. You did wonderful. We're so proud of you. Good job. Amen. That was awesome. Oh my gosh. Thank you, Rachel and team. Did you have something to add to it? All right. That was great. Thank you, Jesus. These guys are, they've been practicing, and I love those songs. And didn't it just touch you to hear them speak of what God showed them in the spirit when they're drawing, they're painting? That just really moved me. And then to have this personal connection as well in song and dance, that was just really awesome. So thank you, ladies and gents, whoever put that all together. So God bless you. So Pastor Bill has a message for us this morning, and this is an amazing, amazing time. Just so grateful that God is doing what he's doing. So,
thank you. Need some lightning today to come out of the tomb right about now. Yes, Lord. We're supposed to be just like them, you know. Children. Children. Not childish, but childlike. Father, we pray that we would be childlike today. Father, we would hear your voice as Father over us, and we would listen, and we would obey, and we would do it with joy, and we would do dance and singing and artwork to bring you glory, Lord. That we couldn't stop to praise you. We give you worship today. We honor you, Lord, for all you've done and all you're doing in us. Lord, resurrect us. You've been resurrected. You've ascended on high. You're praying for each one of us this morning. But God, we may need a resurrection inside of us. A resurrection of intimacy with you. Lord, we know the facts, but do we know you? We know what the Bible says. We believe, but do we know you? Are we willing to be like you, changed, transformed by the Spirit inside to be just like Jesus? Wow, that's a high goal, God. We're going to need you every step of the way. We're going to need you right inside of us, Lord God, to even shoot that high. Thank you, Jesus. You were willing to come. Thank you, Jesus. You were willing to allow Holy Spirit to live inside of us. Thank you, Godhead, for your work on our behalf. Thank you for every role you take to bless us, to empower us, to strengthen us. Thank you, Jesus. May we come closer to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, Lord. Well, it's been a season of talking about humility, a season of talking about repentance, a season of talking about the tongue, and it would seem as though, since we've been doing that in our family here, I'm more aware of how much I fail in those areas. Anyone feel like that? Come on, just one raised hand. That's all I need. Just one. Just as I am. Okay, good. So the closer you get to Jesus, the more you don't feel like him. The more you see how far short you fall. What's that all about? Shouldn't we feel like better the closer we get to Jesus? Well, we can, but we must take the encouragement of the Holy Spirit within. We must humble ourselves in order to receive the joy despite feeling like we don't measure up. As a child, if you don't feel like you measure up, you can end up with problems the rest of your life. If a teacher says, you're just not good enough. A parent says, you're just not good enough. You're not going to be anything. You're not going to do anything significant. That affects us. And most people, they rise up and they rebel. They trash what their parents have done or what teachers have done. Ah, I didn't like that teacher. But actually, the answer is the opposite, isn't it? To humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt us in due time. It's just the opposite in the kingdom. Not to react, not to rebel, but to be submissive, to be humble. Jesus didn't need to do that, but he chose humility. All the various things I'm reading in this season of Easter, every step was humility. In order to love us, think how he had to humble himself to love us to the maximum. He had to humble himself completely in order that we would benefit. So I turn to John 13. One thing you might find as we talk this morning, as we share this morning, as we share together this morning, you'll find that the accounts of what you thought happened back then are much different. Jesus, in this chapter of John 13, does the washing of the disciples' feet. But if you go through the speaking that he does after that, the rest of chapter 13, chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 16, chapter 17, all the way up to chapter 18, the beginning of it, is at the season of the Last Supper, the night of the Last Supper. All those beautiful chapters, you know, John 14, where he talks about, I go to prepare a place for you. I am the resurrection, not the resurrection of life. I am the truth, the way, the life. He talks about John 14. Talks about John 15, I'm the vine. You can't do anything without me. These precious things that he says in these chapters. Chapter 16, part of it talks about the Holy Spirit that he will send so that he will dwell inside of us. Chapter 17, John 17, where Jesus prays for his disciples, and that means us too. All these things he shares in those chapters, very famous chapters in John, in one night. So it wasn't just a quick in and, you know, wash the feet real quick and then let's have this quick meal and then take communion and, okay, pointed out the betrayer and, okay, let's head to the garden. He had a lot of things to say to us, so I would challenge you to kind of read through those again with that understanding. This happens at the time of the Last Supper, all these amazing teachings that he did as he's going to Gethsemane and he's going to be separated from them until the resurrection. If we could have the quote, it's a little bit short this time. You know, long quote, short message. Short message. Short quote, long message. Jesus released himself into the hands of men to be completely misunderstood by even his own followers, to be betrayed and abandoned. He was left alone. To give himself over to be arrested, wrongly accused, unjustly condemned, cruelly punished, publicly mocked, savagely crucified, submitting to death, quietly entombed for 3 days in a borrowed tomb, but none of this could prevent his historic and dramatic resurrection. He is risen. I think we need to declare the whole thing to get it in. What kinds of things Jesus humbled himself to do? He gave himself over to his persecutors. It wasn't like he was running away from them and, no, don't catch me, don't catch me. Oh, they caught me in the garden. Shucks. He was marching. He was taking the steps toward everything that was the opposite of what we would do, what we would give ourselves into. He willingly just stepped forward into it. So let's say it from the beginning. Jesus released, supposed to be following me, those that aren't. Jesus released himself into the hands of men to be completely misunderstood by even his own followers, to be betrayed and abandoned, left alone, to give himself over to be arrested, wrongly accused, unjustly condemned, cruelly punished, publicly mocked, savagely crucified, submitting to death, quietly entombed for 3 days in a borrowed tomb. But none of this could prevent his historic and dramatic resurrection. No, a little more on that one. Resurrection. He is risen. I should have had Josh do this. He did. He just charged this morning at the beginning of worship. If you weren't here, that's why you should come at the beginning. Anyway, Jesus gave himself for all of this. And we say, oh, yeah, we know that. We know that. Don't say that. Let it be fresh in us, right? Every time you come to these things that Jesus did, it should be fresh that he did it this weekend. As if he did it this weekend, just like he did back then. In our spirits need to rise up and grab that humility. Because guess what? We have to celebrate his humility to make it our own. We have to see exactly what he did to step forward towards all this persecution and condemnation and so on our behalf, so we'll step forward for each other. That's what he says to do. Let's read it, John 13. Now, before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew his hour had come that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that, by the way, verse 2, the enemy puts this into his heart. Guess whose heart was open to that? Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. He knows he's going to the cross, and who does he think of first? Us. The very ones he's going to the cross for. Yes, Jesus became exalted with all of this process. He became the name that is higher than any other name that will ever be named. But he didn't do it for that. He had that with his Father in heaven and left it. For us. So why take this towel and start washing their feet when you're going to be facing such hardship and you're going to go to the Garden of Gethsemane and whatever that was, praying 3 times and humbling yourself to the will of the Father 3 times. That was massive. Collision struggle there in the garden. He's facing that, and yet he goes, oh, I need to wash their feet to give them a picture of what's going to happen in the next few days. They're going to be washed clean by me on the cross, and I'm going to give them a picture of it by touching them. And Jesus washed their feet. You think he washed them from over here and they were over there? Do you think he took his time? like he did when he created each one of them and each one of us. Of course he did. He didn't rush it. Boy, I got 12 disciples here. I got to get to Gethsemane. I better move it along. Sorry, I missed your toes. Missed your ankle there. Simon, sorry. He took his time on each one. So much so, he had protests, as we'll see. I'll never make it through this chapter. Sorry. Rose from supper and laid aside his government. That was lack of sleep, sorry. His garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Close, up close, and personal. We kind of fly over this, don't we, when we read through these scriptures. But he was handling each person's foundation, their feet, bringing new revelation while he's touching them. You know, at the touch of Jesus, blind men could see. The lame could walk. And he's touching their feet with that same anointing, that same power. Then he came to Simon Peter. Here comes the protest. And Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Well, let's see, I just did 6 other disciples, and now we're on you? I guess so, Peter. No, he doesn't answer flippantly like I would. Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing, you do not understand now. In fact, it might be a while before you understand, Peter, because you're going to betray me along with someone else I'm going to identify soon. But you will know after this. He didn't leave him saying, you're not going to understand this. I'm going to do it and you won't understand it. For each of us, we're going to get the revelation if we want it. We're going to get the revelation if we want it. The revelation is going to be risen up inside of us when we don't understand what God's doing. Have no idea. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Now let's back up. What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Now, I don't know. Do you think you could do a little better than Peter? Sometimes we think so, don't we? Oh, I wouldn't say what Peter said there. I would have listened to the words of Jesus. Maybe, maybe not. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. We're just washing feet here, Jesus. I mean, can't someone just step out and say, I'm not comfortable with that? You know, my feet stink. I have sandals. I've walked, you know, several miles to get here today. The rest of the disciples, they were here. They freshened up before the foot washing, but mine stink. You don't want mine. If you don't allow me to wash your feet, you can't have anything of me. For he knew, well, let's see, gotta finish that. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Oh, if that's what you're talking about, I need it all. I need all of you, Jesus. That was the proper response when Jesus made his first statement. But Jesus didn't lose his temper, didn't lose patience with Peter. He worked with him. He worked with him. He worked with him, and he's going to work with him when he betrays him. He's going to come, and after he resurrects, he's going to make Peter breakfast at the seashore, at the Sea of Tiberias, and he's going to restore him back. See, Jesus is humble even in the face of our insolence. For he knew, Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. Now, who did he wash the feet of there that we are a little surprised about? Judas. How do we know that? Well, he washed all the disciples' feet, and he pointed out Judas as the betrayer after this. Judas was there. He washed Judas's feet. But he said, basically, in this statement, you are clean, but not all of you. Judas wouldn't receive the washing of Jesus. He wouldn't receive what Jesus was offering. The humility that Jesus offered showed, exemplified to the disciples, there was one that said, no, I've got a different plan. I'm going to go a different direction. He washed his feet. You can have it all, Judas. And Judas, no, I'll receive the lies of the enemy. I'll listen to those over what you can do for me, Jesus. Even if you tenderly touched my feet and washed my feet with the same desire for me to know you as every other disciple. You don't think he rushed on Judas, do you, in washing his feet? On the ones he knew that would be martyred later on, he took a little extra time with them and washed their feet longer, with more vigor, with more desire in his heart. I think he probably took just as much time on Judas, just as tenderly. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? Now, I already told Peter he's not going to understand it. Don't you love that about Jesus? He tells you, you're not going to understand this, but let me ask you some questions. It's like those teachers that you had. They supposedly knew all the answers. How do you know? You don't know because they kept asking questions. Did they answer their own questions? Not necessarily. They started asking you questions. Those professors, they just ask questions and give tests. You don't know if they really know their stuff. But Jesus knows his stuff. Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. If you're going to have all of me, I want you to give all of me to others and do it the way I do. Wash their feet. Don't be selfish, taking what I have to offer and not give it away. Keep it for yourself. It's not the way of the kingdom. The kingdom is to be given away. Love is to be given away. Humility is to be followed and shown to others as it was shown to us. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Humble yourself, in other words. When in doubt, humble yourself. When you're speaking out, humble yourself. When you've got that attitude, humble yourself. When those actions aren't in line with it, humble yourself. Believe me, most of you in here are just a few years younger than I am. As you go along, you're going to realize, oh, it's not when I turn 30 that I'm finally arrived and I become humble like Jesus. Oh, it's not when I'm 40 that I arrived and I'm humble like Jesus. Gee, it's not when I'm 50 and I've arrived, and I'm humble like Jesus. I'm still on my way. And I think most of you will, all of you will feel the same thing when you reach those markers along the way. You'll want more of the humility of Jesus, and you'll realize, wow, all these decades have gone by, and I'm still not like Jesus. But the thing is, you'll cry out more for him. You will cry out more for him, realizing the only way that I can be more humble at this moment, my actions don't show it, my attitudes don't show it, my words don't show it, but I can cry out. If you read through the Psalms, it's cry, 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 cry. 150 Psalms, you know. Cry, cry, praise, praise, cry, cry, praise, praise, cry, cry, sing, sing. A lot of crying out in there. And that's humility. Not to depend on our own abilities, but to cry out to him. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Do them. I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scriptures may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Most assuredly I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. When Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, most assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me. Even though it was predicted, prophesied, even though Jesus knew it, he was overcome with the person that betrayed him. He would want it some other way for that person. That's why he washed his feet. Because he didn't want Judas to do what Judas decided to do. He wanted humility for Judas. He knew Judas, it would not end up well for Judas if he took the path of rebellion against God, rebellion against the love of Jesus, if he decided not to be humble. And it's the same for us. There's a cost to pay to follow Jesus, a bigger cost if we don't follow him, because we're relying on our own resources, our own abilities, our own big words. And it doesn't work out well. So he was troubled in spirit. Then the disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. So Judas fooled the disciples, but he couldn't fool Jesus. We can fool people in front line, people in the body of Christ. But Jesus knows. What's the response? Humble ourselves. Humble ourselves before him. When Jesus humbled himself to the Father, he had nothing to hide. When we humble ourselves to Jesus, often there are things hidden that come out, and we're able to deal with him and deal with those in his presence. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Jesus, we can't be led in the way of everlasting unless we let you search our hearts. Humble ourselves before you, just like you humbled yourself for this process and humbled yourself to your Father. You gave us that example. We can never say, we don't have an example of someone being humble. In front line, they're all, you know, thinking they're hot stuff. You always have Jesus. Don't compare yourself with someone in front line or someone in the body of Christ. That's way too low. way too low. I call it the least common denominator. You go for the gold. Try to match up with his heart, his humility, his giving himself over for a bigger purpose than just being exalted himself. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom he loved. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask who it was in whom he spoke. Then leaning back on Jesus' breast, he said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it." And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. How would you like your name in the Bible in this fashion? They just lay it out. Jesus Iscariot, the son of Simon. Just in case you didn't know. Betrayed the Son of God. What if it was our name? William Harry Gokey, son of Harry Paul Gokey, betrayer of Jesus. How would we feel about that? Having just had our feet washed. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, "What you do, do quickly." That was in humility to the plan of God. Remember, he was distressed back here about Judas. Why didn't he say, "Here's the bread, Judas, but don't take a bite. It's like that bite in the garden. Don't do it. Don't do it." He submitted himself to what he knew the plan of God was, the plan of his Father in heaven, I should say. And he was in complete unity with the Father's plan. Even though he would want something different for each Judas. If they listened to the enemy, the lies of the enemy. There are things that he knows fit in with the Father's plan. And he won't violate it out of humility. But no one at the table knew for what reason he said this to him. For some thought, because Judas had the money box that Jesus had said to him, "Buy those things which we need for the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. Having received the piece of bread, he then went out immediately, and it was night. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you," here it is, "a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." It's not loving as much as you feel like. It's a commandment. It's not loving according to how other people love in the body of Christ. "Well, they don't really love, so I don't have to really." As I have loved you. That's how we're supposed to love one another. As Jesus has loved us. Commandment. Commandment. Wow. Sounds different in this context, doesn't it? When he's washed our feet. When he's distressed over Judas. But he can't do anything about that. Because of Judas's choices lining up with the plan of God. And he's not going to violate it. But he tells us to love a Judas like I do. Love each other like I do. Love fellow believers, those that love me and those that don't, like I love. "By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. It's our mark of being a disciple. Is it any wonder why the world has no idea what's going on in Christianity? Or they think it's a big bunch of hypocrites? It's because it's up to us to love one another. Humble ourselves like Jesus did to love one another. Be willing to pay a cost. You know, all the cost of the quote that we had at the beginning that Jesus did willingly. Step forward so that he could love. It's going to cost you to love. It's going to cost you to be humble to love. Because you can't love in just the way you want to, or the way I want to. We have to step up to the love of Jesus. Love like he loved. That's what we're commanded to do. How do we do that? Well, fortunately, he said that he was going away, but he was going to send us a helper. John 16. You're going to get a helper. You need it. Do you know when Judas betrayed him in the garden? He came to the garden. Jesus had just been with the Father. Your will, not mine. Your will, not mine. Your will, not mine. It was three times. Judas comes to him in the garden, and in one of the accounts, he says to him, "Friend," as he greets him. Can you imagine the kind of love that Jesus had for Judas, even though he was going to be betrayed, even though Judas was going to get the results of that betrayal, and Jesus was also going to get the results of that betrayal? Jesus died for a purpose. Judas died for a lie. He calls him friend. Wow. His love looked past Judas's performance, and he wanted more for him. He looked past his betrayal. He wanted more for him. Called him friend. What humility to do that. Do you know when they came in the garden also, of course, you've got this servant that's just standing there. Now, in my view, Peter brings along a sword. You know, he's going to be the tough guy somewhere along the line. Oh, this is a good opportunity. Okay, which one here is unarmed? Servant of the high priest, okay? I see these guys with swords, shields, some pitchforks, spears. I'm going to go for Malchus. He's unarmed. He can't fight back. Chopped his ear off. There you go, Jesus. I told you I'd stand up for you. And Jesus heals his ear. Humbles himself to another servant, Malchus, the servant of the high priest, to heal his ear. Thereby saying, basically, I still honor those in authority over me because he's just a servant of the high priest, but that's good enough for me. I'm humbling myself and healing this man that has come here with the entourage to take me in and so on. I'm humbling this man who serves a high priest that's going to condemn me to death in the process. But I'm always humble. I don't change, Jesus says, to us. He doesn't change in his humility based on circumstances. If the circumstances are pressure, 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 Jesus still is humble. That's what we're shooting for, folks. Humility in the most pressurized situations in life. Humility in marriage. I'm not saying that's the most pressurized. Humility when everything's coming against us, when people are coming against us. Humility. Before a mighty God. Under his hand. In John 18, verses 1 through 9, they come to get him in the garden. This must have been fun for him. Says, who are you looking for? Jesus of Nazareth. He goes, I am he, and they fall down. Phew! They all fall down. Now, you could have said, victory! Ho-ho! The guys that came to get me are on the ground, and I could keep them there. On the ground. He could have. If you can still the sea and the winds, you can certainly keep down a bunch of guys in little suits of armor. They're heavy anyway. He could have kept them there. But he let them get up. And the next time, he asks them basically the same thing. Who do you seek? Jesus of Nazareth. I am he. He says it again, but they didn't fall down. That was his submission to the plan of God, his heavenly Father. They planned this together, you know, before he came. So he's saying to them, you can't take me, but I'm going to let you take me. I'm going to go, but you're not really accompanying me. It's the plan of my Father. And you will beat me, but it's already been prophesied. You will crucify me, already been prophesied. You're not in charge. I'm in charge with my Father, with the Holy Spirit. We're one on this plan. It looks like you're in charge, but you're not. My humility has made it so you're not in charge. Now think of what that means for our lives. When everything comes against us or people come against us, we can start thinking they're in charge. Circumstances are in charge. Whoa, this won't go well. I can see where this is going to end up. Really? With a powerful God that can humble himself, be completely beat, crucified. And he just says, time to turn the tables. And he resurrects out of the very tomb that he's put into. Think about this. God in a tomb for 3 days. You know what kind of miracle that is? God in a tomb for 3 days. Dead in his human flesh for 3 days. Do you know what kind of energy there must have been? You know those pictures we saw today of the kids? They've got it. Some of us said, well, there probably wasn't lightning. Be careful. The children shall lead us. I think it was more than lightning. More than an atomic blast out of that tomb. He had been in there the better portion of 3 days. Held, so to speak. You can't do that to God unless he submits to the will of himself. They planned it that way. That's the way it's going to go. But if you tried to put him in the tomb for 3 days without the plan, not working. If they tried to put him in the tomb for 3 days without the Father and the Holy Spirit and Jesus coming up with that plan, it's not going to happen. Jesus was not at a weak moment in the tomb. What did he do during that time? He went down to hell and said, come on out of here. He released people from the graves. They're I don't understand all that, but come on, it was a lot going on. You can't hold God in a tomb. See, we look at the disciples, their reaction. Oh, okay, we're going to put the rams around. And the stuff, you know, so it smells good. And then we close the stone. And then they go and together. And we look at their reaction. Wrong place to look. Where we look is how Jesus was in charge all the way through. They tried to throw him over a cliff one time, and he just walked right through them. Doesn't mean they, you know, were able to lay a hand on him and he was breaking through them like a football player. No, you won't touch me. You're not going to throw me down a cliff. He didn't need to do that. He just walked right through them. Wasn't the plan of God? You aren't touching Jesus until he's ready to be touched. And then he'll submit himself to the process of the Father and blow out of that tomb. We have to look at it from God's perspective. God is never in a tomb unless he puts himself there. Jesus is never on a cross unless he puts himself there. He resurrects because there's no other option. He must rise. He must come out of the tomb. You cannot hold him down. So what happens in our lives? Sometimes we almost are the ones to insert him into some kind of tomb with us. Well, you can't help us. Is the Holy Spirit living inside of you as a tomb or as resurrection Jesus? However you want to express it. I can't express it this morning. I'm tripping over my tongue. Some of you noticed. You'll laugh about it later. But the Holy Spirit's going to get you with the revelation. Anyway, I don't care. Have a little giggle on me. But the revelation of this is going to get you. Your circumstances are not going to be a tomb anymore. They're going to be a resurrection. Whatever you face this week, leading up to this day, there's going to be a resurrection. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy. Don't listen to the lies of your flesh. Let there be a resurrection. The resurrection isn't complete unless it's in you. That's what Jesus wants. That's what he humbled himself for. That we could have a resurrection, not just him. It doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. Resurrection continues. It's not just we celebrate Jesus' resurrection today. We celebrate that the resurrection continues in us. That's where it needs to happen. That's the completion. So when he comes back, we're going to have a different kind of body, aren't we? Some of us might go a little early. Try it on for size before some of you show up. We'll see how that goes. But all of us are going to be like Jesus in heaven in many ways. Oh, we're not going to be God. No. But we're going to have all the benefits that he decided. He wants them to start now, though. When I was growing up, it was all about heaven. Not really what happened here on earth. It was all about singing for heaven. Everything was pointed to heaven. We're going to heaven. You want to be on that train to get to heaven. Heaven, heaven. And then some people started saying, why don't we have heaven on earth? That's what Jesus wanted. Oh, you mean this could start early? we could actually listen to that Holy Spirit inside of us, and miracles and signs and wonders would happen in India, a Hindu nation, in China, Buddhist, materialistic. Yeah, that's what he wants, a resurrection in these countries, a resurrection for us personally. That completes the resurrection. How about it? Are you willing to go through some of the sufferings that Jesus went through in order to have a resurrection? Are you willing to humble yourself? Am I willing to humble myself to have the resurrection that Jesus was able to achieve and he'll put inside of us? So none of these circumstances will hold us in a tomb. None of these fears will be able to hold us in a tomb. None of these challenges will be able to hold us in a tomb. We're going to bust out with all those lightnings and everything else we saw in those kids' pictures. It's not going to be just for Jesus. It's going to be for you. It's going to be for me. Come on. That's what he wants. That's why he humbled himself. As I said, Jesus didn't humble himself to be exalted. He had already been exalted. He came down and humbled himself, gave up a lot just to dwell in one body. God in one body. That was the tomb. Being in one body in your unlimited God. And he did that for almost 34 years. So 3 days in that tomb with death, no big deal. I can beat death. It's being in that body. One man. I can't do everything I want to do in a sense. But he did it willingly, humbled. He wasn't in distress. He had already decided that was the cost that had to be paid. That was the beginning cost. Just dwelling, God dwelling in human flesh. Limited. Got to eat. Didn't have to do that in heaven. Drink. Didn't have to do that in heaven. Had to sleep. Didn't have to do that in heaven. Walk. Didn't have to do that in heaven. Experience pain. Didn't have to have that in heaven. All those things that he opened himself up to was part of his humility for us. So, Father, we thank you, God. You are so good to us. We've just begun. I've just begun my message, God, but it's time to stop. We bless you, Lord, on this Easter Sunday. We thank you, God, for new revelation of your resurrection has just started. It's not over. It just started, Lord. Thank you for that. We need that for our lives. We need that hope, that assurance. We need that so Holy Spirit inside of us can do the empowering that he wants to do. We won't listen to the lies, the trash of the world, the lies of the enemy, but we will listen to you, that voice within, that kingdom within, and we will see our circumstances change to line up with heaven. We will see challenges met. We will not be people of fear. We'll be people of faith, trusting in a resurrection Jesus, not a Jesus in the tomb that just barely made it out. No. There's no way that tomb could have held you. There's no way that you could have continued in human flesh any longer. It was time to bust out with the plan of God for us. It was all for us. It was love for us. You humbled yourself for us. Lord, we don't deserve it. But you did it anyway. We're just a bunch of betrayers being healed. You did it anyway. You washed our feet before you started the horrendous process just to show us. You're willing to touch us and love us and humble yourself and wash us clean. Jesus, let us cooperate with every step. We bless you. We bless your name. We raise up the name of Jesus that is higher than any other name, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus, you are. Our Lord, you are risen. We give you praise and thank you, Lord, for this morning, this afternoon, and the rest of the day of worshiping you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You be risen along with Jesus.